The prosecuting attorney in Podunkville, Mississippi, called his first witness to the stand. He approached her and asked the grandmotherly, elderly woman, "Mrs. Jameson, do you know me?" Without hesitation, she responded in a clear, confident voice and said, "Why, yes, I do know you, Mr. Yodaberry. I've known you since you were a wee little thing, and frankly, you've been a big disappointment to me. You lie, you cheat on your wife, you manipulate people, and you talk about them behind their back. You think you're a rising big shot when you haven't got the brains to realize you will never amount to anything more than a two-bit paper pusher. Yes, I believe I do know you." Shocked, Yodaberry stood speechless for a moment. Not knowing what else to do, he pointed across the courtroom and proceeded, "And Mrs. Jameson, do you know the defense attorney?" She replied again, just as clearly as she did with great authority, and said, "Why, yes, I certainly do. I've known Mr. Turkletoff since he was a youngster, too. In fact, I used to babysit him for his parents, and he, too, has been a real disappointment to me. He's lazy. He's bigoted. He has a drinking problem. The man can't build a normal relationship with anyone, and his law practice is one of the shoddiest in the entire state. Yes, I know him." At this point, the judge wrapped the courtroom to silence and called both counselors forward to approach the bench. In a very quiet voice, he pointedly said, "If either of you gents ask her if she knows me, you'll be fined and serve time for contempt." Sometimes we don't like the truth very much, do we? The old saying that the truth hurts is true. But God's truth, spoken through humans, isn't meant to hurt. It's intended to show His love and care for us. God wants us to grow closer and closer to Him. And we can't do that if we let worldly things come between us and God. Today's text shows us that we cannot separate any of the gifts from the Holy Spirit from love. 1 Corinthians 14:1 states, "Follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy." What is prophecy? Well, first let's talk about what prophecy is not. Prophecy is not a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. However, the three often work together. If you remember, I said the gift of a word of wisdom brings insight, inspiration, and understanding. A gift of wisdom often brings a sense of peace. It is practical and it gives instruction on what a person should do. A word of knowledge is when the Holy Spirit gives someone a piece of God's knowledge. God sends the believer a word of knowledge to say, "I know who you are." The most significant difference between wisdom, knowledge, and prophecy is that while wisdom and knowledge give the believer a thought from God, prophecy provides the receiver with the actual words from God. These words are meant for the believer to deliver these words to other believers. Now, we often think of prophecy as fortune-telling. And yes, sometimes foretelling the future is a small part of it, but not in the way that we think. Prophecy is forth-telling. It's forth-telling for another. In Exodus, when God called Moses to deliver Israel out of Egypt, Moses objected. He said he didn't speak well. And God got angry and he answered, "Is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know he can speak well. You will talk unto him and put words in his mouth. And he shall be your spokesman unto the people. And he shall be to you instead of a mouth, a prophet. Aaron, forth speaking for Moses, became his prophet. Now, prophet of God was God's spokesperson. The Old Testament includes the writings of prophets, both major and minor, from Moses to Malachi. These men didn't merely foretell the future, but instead did foretell. They brought forth God's message which concerned past, present, and future. Though the future was often part of their prophetic speech, their emphasis was historical, it was practical, and it was relevant to current conditions, such as when the prophets warned Israel and Judah about the coming Assyrians and the Babylonian invasions. The prophets also warned them about the doom and the desolation that were going to follow. In the New Testament, John the Baptist exercised a prophetic ministry when he admonished Herod that he should not have taken his brother's wife. In the Corinthian church, prophecy seemed to deliver an inspired message or revelation for edifying the church. 1 Corinthians 14:3-4 say, "But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church." So, with this information, what is prophecy? The gift of prophecy allows God to use human voices to speak to His people. As shown in our text today, the gift of prophecy is the only gift we are told to ask for. We're told to covet it. Other gifts often manifest through the gift of prophecy. For instance, prophecy is the voice through which wisdom speaks and the voice by which faith speaks. To prophesy is to speak for another. The one prophesying is speaking for God. To prophesy is to say in one's own language in the power of the Holy Spirit. The gift of prophecy is to build up, exhort, and comfort. One way to test a prophetic word is to test to see if a prophetic word is from the Holy Spirit is to determine if it falls between these three guidelines. A word of prophecy will never condemn, belittle, or tear down. Let me say that again. A word of prophecy will never condemn, belittle, or tear down. The Holy Spirit uses the New Testament prophet as a voice to build up His church. Perhaps in some ways the New Testament prophet is much like John the Baptist, a voice crying in the wilderness. The Holy Spirit does not bully a person into prophesying. Instead, the Holy Spirit comes upon a prophet and encourages and inspires the servant of God to speak. Prophecy is an act of cooperation where the one speaking cooperates with God. 1 Corinthians 14:32 says, "The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets." Prophets can control their own prophetic speech. They can determine when and where it is appropriate to speak. For example, if I say a thing in a sermon that gives you a prophetic voice from God, it is your choice to then and there say something or wait till later. Now, I will say, as long as I'm not saying a thing that is unbiblical or unsound, or that could cause someone to stumble in their walk, it might be best to wait and bring me that message after the service. The gift of prophecy must be judged. One reason for that is that prophets can sometimes speak from their own hearts instead of from the Holy Spirit. It is possible for a prophet to add to the Holy Spirit's words or to only give part of the message. Sometimes the desire to encourage or comfort the one to whom he is speaking is so strong that it seems as if the words are coming from the heart of God. If a prophet is not sure that the message is from the Holy Spirit, it would be better to raise a prayer for clarification. The Apostle Paul warns in 1 Thessalonians 5, "Do not despise prophecies. Examine all things. Firmly hold on to what is good." An essential part of prophecy is to reveal divine truth. However, the truth revealed in a prophetic utterance will never contradict the written word of God. Of course, some say we do not need prophecy today because we have the Bible. However, that position discounts how Bible truth coming to us through a spoken word of prophecy can grab our attention and can penetrate deeply into us. We can read the Bible. But sometimes somebody may say a thing about something that's in the Bible in a way that gets our attention. In Christian circles today, much is said about speaking with a prophetic voice. A prophetic voice is a truthful voice. But we're kind of like that judge that threatened the lawyers with fines and charges of contempt. For the most part, we're often like the people that Jack Nicholson was talking to in that movie, A Few Good Men. We can't handle the truth, not God's truth. Because God's truth begins with us looking within ourselves to determine how closely we align with that truth. We don't like to do that very much, do we? Before we can speak God's words, before we can even hear God's words, we have to remove the stumbling blocks in our own lives. And if that brings Jesus' admonition against looking at the speck in your brother's eye before attending to the log in your own, it should, because that's what he's talking about in Matthew 7:3. Now, why didn't the judge in the story I told want the woman to say what she knew about him? Because he knew that along with bringing embarrassment upon himself, it was going to lessen his effectiveness in judging other lawbreakers. Now, no one is without sin, but we all must be trying to confront our own sins and get them out of the way, eradicate them. John Wesley taught that we could reach sanctification, meaning perfection, before heaven, before we go to heaven. The perfection that he taught doesn't mean without sin. It means that we are without intentional sin. We hear the Holy Spirit and we obey the Holy Spirit when God says don't. For God to use us as a prophetic voice, we must let the Holy Spirit out of that box I keep talking about, and we have to listen to him. Not just listen for prophetic words from God for the church, but words of conviction over our own selfish and secret sins. As we've talked about the gifts of the Spirit, I've told you to test the Spirit. Ask for and use the gift of distinguishing of spirits to determine what kind of spirit is sending the gift. With the gift of prophecy, not only should the believer receiving the gift of prophecy discern what kind of spirit is giving the gift, but also the receivers of the prophetic words. Remember, I said that the gift of prophecy is for the church's edification. Think how much damage evil spirits can do through gifts of prophecy under the guise of the Holy Spirit. Many of the problems we see in the church today come from gifts of prophecy given by spirits other than God's own spirit. Think about how much damage is being done in the church by people preaching, teaching, or talking anything other than the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus himself warned of false prophets, but our lack of discernment and our unwillingness to judge prophetic voices are causing much harm in God's kingdom and much harm in the world. Often false prophets gain a large following by saying what people want to hear instead of what God says. This gospel of self tells people that God wants them to be prosperous and happy. It tells them that God wants them to be their authentic selves and that God doesn't expect them to change. Now I'm going to say this, and y'all have heard me talk about prosperity preachers before and the gospel of self. I do not believe, though, that most of those preaching, teaching, or talking a false gospel started out with that intention. Last week, I quoted 2 Thessalonians 2:11, which says that God will send a powerful delusion so that people will believe the lie. Now, while I'm sure that some get into church as a racket, I think that most of those bringing the gospel of self started out bringing the gospel of Jesus, because they and the people that they speak to, though, didn't discern that the Spirit leading them was not the Holy Spirit. Because of that, God sent a powerful delusion to make them believe the lie. God wants us to want the gift of prophecy, because not only does he want people speaking the true gospel of Christ in the world, but he also knows that if we truly want this gift, we will be eager to draw closer to him. We will look within ourselves and determine what's coming between us and God. That's how it starts. In fact, that's the doorway to any of the gifts, is a desire to know God and follow what he wants. We must search within ourselves and get rid of any vestiges of the gospel of self, that gospel that excuses our sin, whatever those sins may be. Bow your heads with me, please. Dear Lord, we fail so often to be the people that you call us to be. We need you and your Spirit to help us, to teach us, and to show us your way. Father, forgive us when we push aside the gospel of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and replace it with a gospel of self. Show us our sins and open our hearts to break for those times that we excuse our sin, or worse yet, listen to spirits other than your own that say our sin is okay. Allow us to see and repent and follow Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.